Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
What is up, friends? Welcome into Attacking Third, presented by CarMax. Shop, buy, and sell your way. Want to drive CarMax? We've got Lori Lindsay, Sandra Herrera in the house, and your girl Darian Jenkins is in the host seat. We have a fun show for you today. We are doing NWSL Match Week 8, ladies and gentlemen, which sounds insane. Match Week 8. We're going to do our team of the week and a special player interview coming off of that Utah and Louisville match. And whether you're here on YouTube, joining us on Galazzo, or listening as a pod, thank you for jumping on. If you're in the comments here, let us know what is going on. Okay, ladies, before we get into Match Week 8 and the recap, because we didn't talk about it when we were meeting before the show started, have you seen a flip throw in the NWSL before? Or was that everyone's first time when Cariabello pulled that out of nowhere? We have to acknowledge it.
Yeah, we're going to have to go back and dig in the deep archives. But I think we can all agree it's a little bit too hot out right now. The brains are kind of foggy. We've had some crazy long throws. I know that. Like, for some reason in my head, I was like, surely Jess McDonald did this one point. But I don't think
Jess has the crazy long throw.
She's just quarterback.
Okay, here, this is the, okay, I'm going to be aging myself in this, but in the WSA, when it was the San Diego Spirit, we had this teammate of mine, Kimberly Pickup, and she would do the pick flip, and she would legitimately do this weekend. It was absolutely bananas.
Love the shout.
I remember, it was like my first year as a professional, and I was just like, what's happening? Do we have any idea of where this ball is going to go? Is this like a trick play? Like, what's going on? So yeah, it's just amazing.
Would we call flip throws a little bit of razzle dazzle?
Totally.
Fit that category. Either way, whether it's the first or if it's a return, shout out to Cariabello for sure. Bring it in.
Shout out to Cariabello. That was sick. I had to watch it back 4 or 5 times. Another clip I had to watch back 4 or 5 times was San Diego Washington Spirit. Let's get into that game. To me, biggest statement win we've had from San Diego thus far. Beating Washington Spirit 2-1. Got a goal from Trinity Byers early on. Game-winning goal from Kimmy Escanio. Shout out to Rebecca Bernardo getting her second goal once again off of a corner kick, getting the header. I just thought San Diego looked so impressive. Trinity Byers, that was an interesting start for her to make a statement and get that finish. What does this mean for San Diego to knock down the Washington Spirit with all the talent that they have, Sandra?
They're not staying low for long whenever they find themselves getting low. And that's what is going to be the difference maker between teams that are the contenders versus the ones who are pretenders versus the ones who are still trying to figure it out. You can find yourself having a two-game skid, let's say, in a 30-game long season and completely switch things around in a two-game win streak. And you're right back to looking elite. And I think you get to showcase a little bit of how deep your team is. I mean, you kind of hit the nail right there, Darren, with Trinity Rise getting that start. It's like, why not? The coaching staff said, we've seen enough. Mm-hmm. And why not give it? And why not give it against Washington Spirit? Like, this potential early playoff preview, those are like bold moves and bold statements in itself. There's a little bit of like, hey, wait a second. Washington Spirit aren't the only deep rostered bench in the league. We are too. And so I loved this. And it had a little bit of everything for everybody, especially the neutrals, you know, probably really liked this one. But, you know, the Spirit are going to go back and look at this game and say, they got away with a whiffed kind of, you know, punch there on a set piece. It's leaving more for later. Folks are already waiting for the sequel. I know I am.
I'll jump right in. it's late. We're hot. I don't need you to. I'm like, Darren, are you going to chime in? No, I completely agree. I think this is, and especially playing at home for San Diego, I think it needed to be a statement win, given their most recent run of form. But to have Washington travel cross country, I mean, those are the ones that early on, especially in the season, you have to take care of. And, you know, I think for me, too, there was always just slightly a little bit of question marks in their depth in the back. And for them to be able to, one, score early and force Washington to have to chase, but then also hold their own defensively, right? Because we know about the depth that they have in the attack, and it's just absurd. And it's just – and it's absurd, but it's also amazing in the which, regardless of who's playing, it is so free-flowing and they're playing together. There's just like a seamlessness about it, which I find incredibly fun to call matches and just watch as a viewer too. But I say all that because, you know, I think the biggest question mark has been like, okay, what is this team going to look like defensively consistently throughout the season, right? And they're just showing up as an entire team, regardless of who's out there. And yeah, it's been super fun to watch. It's a huge, huge statement, especially as we're getting so close to the international break.
Probably game of the week for me.
Yeah.
It was like the two heavyweights in the league right now at this moment, like just weeks before break, and San Diego punches, Washington Spirit punch right back with that equalizer from Rebe Bernal. Just good stuff all around. It was a great game this weekend.
Yeah. When I look at Washington Spirit, I'm like, okay, so this is the game you needed as well.
Yes.
This is the game where you needed to get exposed that, okay, nothing's perfect right now. And I think going against San Diego with the talent that they have was so, so good. But let's jump to our interview really quick, because hot off of the match, everybody, we have Kay Delfava, Iron Woman of the Utah Royals.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Kate.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Kate, so good to see you. Thank you for joining us on the show. Great. The chat is popping off. They're so excited that you joined. Kate, how are you feeling after that game?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm happy to be inside and warming up because it was cold out there. But yeah, I'm really proud of the group, you know. Obviously, to concede a goal like that, you never want to do that. But the way this team responded, it's so good to see. And Jimmy said something at the end where he was like, as much as I hate conceding, maybe we needed that to see, you know, how this team is going to respond to a little bit of adversity. And I'm really proud of the girls for how they responded. The players coming in the game were so good, so impactful. Just a whole total team win. So I'm really happy right now.
Kate, congrats once again on this dub. Congrats for just kind of building a little bit of a legacy here with Utah. Being an Iron Woman for them since 2024, incredible stuff. And I think maybe that's where I want to go with things here for you defensively. You mentioned about maybe feeling like you needed a bit of that adversity. We had Paige Cronin before on this show in a post game, And you're one of these players that's also sort of been building with Utah since year one. What can you speak about to this current flow state that the team is in right now on the defensive side of things and what it's sort of taken to get to this point to kind of maybe perfect a little bit of that organized shape?
Yeah, I think we have the mentality that from the front line to the back, we're a defensive working team and we want to be pressing and we want to be, you know, high up the field. And so I feel like a lot of the work gets done before it even touches the back line, which is very nice as a defender. You know, I feel like last year we kind of tried to implement that, but I don't know if we had the right system, the right players to, you know, really do that job. And so I feel like the players that we have this year, the roster that we've built, the staff that we've brought in, they've all just been on the same page of we want to be a high pressing team that's fun to watch, that wins the ball back high up on the field. And I think we did that a couple times tonight. It's really fun to watch. And so it's nice as a defender to kind of see your forwards working their tails off. And then that just gives you all the extra push you need to just keep going. And our structure has been really great. Our goalkeepers have been so good. So it's been really fun to see for sure.
Yeah, Kate, good to see you. And I'm just thinking back to a couple seasons ago when I met your parents in North Carolina after that Courage game, right? And it was just like, you were in the thick of it, right? It was like, goodness gracious. Yeah. And I just want to really just hear from you the emotional roller coaster that's gotten you to this point, right? Like, how are you feeling? Because it has been, I would say, a year and a half, a long year and a half, and then now you've been on this upward swing. But it's just the where you came from as a team to now has just been exceptional. So what has that journey been like for you?
It's been a great journey to be on. Obviously, there were times in the last 2 years that have been really, really tough. But, you know, the players that you mentioned, like the Pages, the Mandys, like myself included, we knew we were building something here. We truly believed it. Even when we were in the thick of it, I know when we were sitting at that restaurant in North Carolina, like it was hard. It wasn't easy to be in those situations, but I think the work we did then is now we're reaping the rewards, and it hasn't been a smooth incline, but at the same time, the people we have here are so dedicated and so willing to put in the work. And it's been so nice to see the reward of that work and the foundation we've built, and to finally be enjoying the football and enjoying where we are in the league and getting those results. So yeah, it hasn't been easy, but it's been so, so worth it.
Kate, I love seeing you thriving with this team. Right. I feel like you're playing with so much confidence. And even tonight when you guys did concede that goal, just a little bit of a breakdown in the back, it doesn't seem like the old Utah Royals that I think would crumble.
Yeah,
everybody's body language is positive. You're there to fix it. Yeah. Is that something that you've really been working on just as yourself and kind of implementing with the team?
Yeah, I think there's just such a belief in this group. So even when moments like that happen, I think we thought, okay, we'll go and get another one. We felt like we probably should have had two or three before that moment even happened. So we just knew we need to execute and we're capable and we're bringing players on the pitch like Assisi, like Lara, like Alexa, who on the attacking side of the ball are great. And it's so nice to be able to bring that quality into the match and have it elevate the game, you know? So it's been fun, but at the same time, I'm really proud of the group for bouncing back. You know, we want to be a team that builds out of the back, and you're going to have moments like that. And you have to accept that. I mean, Jimmy says that all the time. He'll take the blame for that. He wants us to play like that. So, Anna saved our butts a couple times today, and I said we wouldn't have won that game without her. So that moment, just to turn it around and have the team put her on their back and get a goal back, was so special to see.
Okay, I love Lori. I love that shout out for the parents, because I'm gonna shout them out too. I've met the great Del Favas at a Chicago in Bridgeview Chicago, and they've gone to go visit some games. Shout out to the Midwest, great pair of parents. But
they are the best. They're here today. They flew out to watch the game.
Oh, amazing.
They're the best.
Tell them Avery says hello.
Big fans of the Del Favas.
I will. I'll tell them.
I just wanted to like talk maybe about maybe some of the fun stuff that we don't see from this Utah Royals side that's not on the pitch. Yeah. Every once in a while, when teams sort of find themselves in this groove, it's the things that they're maybe doing off of the pitch as well that's contributing to what we're seeing in these week to performances. Whether we're watching the Spirit with Jose the Coyote, whether we've seen funky stuff in the past from other teams rallying around a certain song or anything. What are some of the things that you all are maybe finding yourselves developing camaraderie around right now?
Yeah, we have such a great group. I truly believe that we've said that our superpower is that we all really like each other. Like, we genuinely have a great locker room, and it's so fun and special to be a part of. And actually, just the other day, we threw a surprise bridal or baby shower for Yenny. I don't know if you saw on any of the social. She's her fiance is due in June, and so. Yeah, we threw a surprise. She was completely, she was like, she showed up and she's like, what is this for? We're like, it's for you. Like, we're all here. So just little moments like that, you know, like the team came up with that and wanted to do something special for her. And so we just have moments where this group just really wants the best for each other, and we enjoy being around each other. And I think you can see that on the pitch, and you can definitely see it and feel it off the pitch. So it's a great group to be a part of.
Kate, well, we're all cheering for you. We can see the joy on the pitch from the Utah Royals, and just super proud of you. So congrats on the win. We'll let you go celebrate with your parents. Shout out to the Delfavas. Lovely, lovely.
I'll tell them all today. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, congrats, Kate. Good luck.
Thank you, guys.
Oh,
I know. So amazing.
Yeah, what a game.
I love that the Favas are making their rounds, though.
Let's go. This was like, I think this might have been a season or two ago. I think this might have been year one Utah. So, you know, a much different team back then for sure. But what a game performance from them. And you know what, for racing as well, to sort of be up to that challenge a little bit, because they force Utah into some kind of funky positions there and scenarios.
But I did love that question you asked at the end, because I do think that that's important, because, you know, sometimes when you're in like a bad run of form, it's like really hard to find joy, and you're leaving the locker room as quickly as possible. It's just like, okay, we need to, and then you can feel the energy, and it's contagious. So I think you can see that in what you asked, Darian, in terms of even when they concede, no one seems to be down. It's like, okay, here we go.
It didn't seem like they panicked at all. And to me, that's actually what's been Utah's sort of biggest strength this season, is when things do break down, they don't panic. They don't force. There's no like crazy balls just being lobbed forward for them to try to get something on. They still stay with their game plan and build. And I think the teams that we're seeing kind of break away so far in this season, the San Diegos, the Utahs, the Washington Spirits, the Denvers. I mean, especially we're going to get into the Denver Orlando game, but they have the patience. And when something's not on, they pull it back, they recycle, they go back to the team that they are. There's never forcing anything. And so tonight, I think that's ultimately what got Utah the win. And their counter press is so good. It is relentless how quickly they get the ball back.
We were talking about it in the lead up to this show, because we like, you know, we also have our little camaraderie moments, and we're watching the final game together before we hop on and try to have a good show. And there were a couple moments there where we were like, hey, what's going on here? Like a couple turnovers, maybe at this point in the season, seems a little bit uncharacteristic of Utah. But I love the response, to your point, Darian. They're not letting those errors sort of overtake them. They're not letting the mental demons kind of take over, whereas maybe a Utah team in the past might have. And credit to Louisville for trying to make things, you know, difficult for a team that's just in an incredible form right now. But sometimes doesn't always go your way.
Yeah, I completely agree. Well, we're going to get into some other games. Of course, you know, Denver Pride, and go around the grounds after this quick break. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
What's up, friends? Welcome back into Attack Declared, presented by CarMax. Shop, buy, and sell your way. Want to drive? CarMax. All right, as promised, we are going to break down the Denver Summit FC against Orlando Pride match, baby. And what a resounding win for Denver, my word. Their first home win, multiple goals. Janine Sonis only scores braces from the outside back position. I mean, how big is this? I mean, I listed kind of how big it is, but truly, how big is this, Lori, for Denver to get this resounding win at home?
Yeah, huge. I think we even heard Janine Sonis say it after the game about wanting to get this win in front of their fans. They've been showing out every time that they played in front of their home fans. But I think just the way that this team from the beginning, right, we've all been talking about how the team was built, the team that they've been able to put together from day one, essentially, as an expansion team. But then to go out and put these performances together, and you're just seeing players. I mean, Janine Sonis, perfect example, right? I mean, scoring goals. And we've seen glimpses of this throughout her career, whether it's in Portland, Louisville, now in Denver. But I mean, it does feel like this team, you know, it reminds me of Orlando in the sense a couple years ago when they won the Shield and the championship. Everybody's level was just that much better. And even though that's a stretch, right? Because Denver hasn't won the Shield or the championship yet. But for an expansion team in putting this group together, it really does feel like Nick Cushing and his coaching staff has everybody bought in. Everybody's operating on a higher level. And much like we were talking about with Utah, it's like they're having fun, sticking to their game plan, and enjoying themselves. So it's a huge win. And I think we're just going to continue to see them on this trajectory. What I will say, though, too, is I mean, even though Barbara Banda got the goal, I think anytime you can, I mean, she's just scoring. Yeah. Anytime she touches things, she's scoring goals, which is just absurd. But I mean, I continue to give a shout out to Denver's back line because they've been immense all season.
Yeah, I think, look, at the rate Banda's scoring this season and what everyone knows her to be capable of any week. If the concept, if the game plan concept is to be like, hey, look, let's make sure we limit Banda to one.
Yeah.
She's not getting anything else. She's not getting anything else. And they did that.
Mm-hmm.
Denver did that. Huge, huge win for this club. Kind of feels like maybe the one that they were looking for to this point. You could see how much it meant to them at home during the Pride match for their fans, massive amount of folks out on a what was it, a Saturday evening or Friday evening. It just was like epic. And we're getting to see, I mean, selfishly, like, I love seeing the vets shine. Like, I love seeing, Janine Shellness, like, putting it on for her team, for herself, for the fans. Abby Smith reminding everybody that she's not just a journey woman in this league. Like, she is a journey woman of this league because of how good she is and because of how big of a long-standing, talented goalkeeper she is. Massive, massive stuff for them.
Yeah, I got to hear from Nick Cushing this weekend. I was on the coverage in studio, and him just talking about his sort of style. You can completely see it, and the confidence it's given the players. He's like, yeah, I'm a tactics guy. Every coach is going to talk about tactics, but a game is a game. And I want the players to have the confidence, have the freedom to also shine in the way that they shine. What made you a pro and come out and be in this environment and make it to this level? And I think we're seeing players like Yasmin Ryan looks more confident than ever. Delaney Sheehan's slicing and dicing people at the top of the 18. Janine Sonis looks probably the most consistent and strong, more than she was as a forward, as an outside back with the captain's armband. And I just, Sandra, you said it. I love seeing the veteran shine. I love them get their flowers. But on the other hand, yes, Barbara Banda's inevitable. She's going to score against you. But, I mean, people need to share the load in Orlando.
Yeah.
Yeah, to me, it's she can score. She can't carry this team anymore than she already is.
Yeah.
Who else, Sandra, do you think needs to step up for Orlando? I mean, Banda, quick note, has scored 9 out of 14 goals for Orlando. That's 64% of their goals this season.
Yeah, I mean, we got a small glimpse of this, you know, last season when they sort of had to figure it out without her. And to a certain extent, they did, right? We saw them make another playoff push and get back in the mix. So it's not something that they're unfamiliar with. It just, I think, feels really uncomfortable that they're kind of facing this now in the part of the season where you're kind of supposed to be figuring those things out already, and they're not. I think I wanted at this point to see more from maybe those players who are, you know, those second or third year kind of players. Like, what can we see from Doyle? Like, you know, what are we going to see from Yates from week to week? Players that, you know, I would almost counter argue that, you know, during that epic 2024 run were like these incredible depth pieces for Orlando. Summer Yates was one of these players that was like a champagne problems player for Orlando. Like, when do you start her or do you not? Do you mess with their flow state at the moment? And unfortunately she picked up injury along the way. And so maybe there's part of that too, coming back into form and finding one's confidence again. So it could come from a number of areas, Darian, but I can tell you where it's not going to help. It's not going to help is getting red cards on hair pulling incidents, especially if you're Angelina. This is what this, and that's one of those players that maybe you look at to say like, well, that's a player who's capable of taking control of a game from time to time, but it did not happen this night for her in Orlando.
Yeah. I feel like we've had this conversation before too, because it has been a little bit of a reoccurring theme, you know, and they are missing Ovalle at this point in time, because I do feel like right before she got injured, before the last international break against Angel City, she was starting to come on and add a different flair to the attack and could alleviate some of that pressure from Barbara Banda. But then when she goes down, now, you know, you're kind of having to try to figure out what is the best group. And Angelina doesn't start this game, but then she gets a red card, right? Julie Doyle gets the start. So you move Summer Yates more into the central role. And it just feels like, Yeah. I mean, the best way to put it is just exactly how you said it, Darian. Other players need to find another level. They need to find another level. And it's, I think it's completely fine to rely a lot on Barbara Banda because she's inevitably just going to score goals. This is what she does, right? And she is just a force to be reckoned with in terms of what she does. But there has to be some other ways, because if the teams focus on her and limit her, then you're basically right now shutting down the team.
Yeah, I agree. And when I look at Orlando's schedule as well, it didn't help. A three-game away from home week with injuries.
Yeah. And this was a great time for Denver to get those points, knowing that they had just lost in Boston on Tuesday, Orlando. So they would have felt kind of vulnerable, I feel like, in general. And then to go to Denver in front of that crowd and, yeah, concede the early goal. But we've seen them here before. So I do have faith that this team can go through some of these dips in form and come back out on top. But just need to make sure they're not conceding too many. Because especially with some of the Utah, Denver that we're seeing, some of these teams take form, two more teams in the league, it's not as easy.
I do wonder if they're one of those teams that is just like, we just got to get to the break kind of.
That's what I feel for sure.
So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, Laura, you mentioned teams that are firing on all cylinders, are kind of heating up. Talk about a player that's inevitable as well. Temwa Shewinga. She's going to score a hattie. She's going to score a brace, nearly get another hat trick. Guys, Temwa's back, but Sandra, to me, she even looks better. To me, she's more refined this season. Do you see that too?
It's crazy. It's like Temwa was like, you know what? I'm going to get everybody a 7-game head start. And then, you know what time it is? Temwa time, baby. It's crazy. It's like a hat trick here, a brace there, like you said, Darian. She's a very special player, and the kind of player that makes you quickly forget about the lows and the woes that they were going through, because this Kansas City team looks completely different right now with the form that Shewinga's finding herself in, with Croy Bethune looking confident and creative again, with Michelle Cooper hooping the way we know her to hoop. Incredible stuff right now for them. Not a team you want to meet.
No, it's interesting too, because I feel like the best way to say it with Shewinga is that she just makes that team better, right? With the amount of pieces they have. So immediately she comes on, Croy Bethune's playing higher up the field now in her more comfortable position, but she's showing the flair that she has. I mean, the form that Michelle Cooper's in as well is just amazing. Just that final pass to her for Shewinga's second goal was just brilliant. But the thing that I love about Shewinga is it feels right now too, as she's coming back, she's just kind of, you know, we've always known about her work ethic. She's going to track back, do a ton of the defensive work, but it also just kind of feels like she now even more so picking her moments. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, okay, I'm going to like lull these teams to sleep and then go. And all of her, and she still attracts so much attention, but a lot of her goals have been the tap-ins where teams are scrambling and are like, where's Shewinga? Like, where's the ball? Like, where's my keeper? And it's all forced just from her presence. And then she's, unfortunately for Jane Campbell, costs up that first goal. Then it pokes free, right? And it's an easy tap-in for Shewinga, but it's all about her positioning to begin with and the attention that she garners. So yeah, it's just exceptional. And this team looks completely different and everybody's looking a lot more comfortable. And so I feel like this is a team too that's like, they're going to have a midweek game in LA, but then they have a big game against Portland over the weekend too. So I think two big games that they need to get points in my opinion, to show like, okay, yeah, here we go. We're on the right path and we are really back.
Yeah. Like this is the real deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel you. Well, a team that I do think is, well, proving they're the real deal, still would need more consistency, is North Carolina. 4-0 dominating win everybody's getting a goal. Everybody's sharing the load of scoring goals. Ashley Sanchez is just looking more confident with the swagger more than ever that we've seen her with this Courage team. And I love the shout out to our producer, Audrey, for putting this in here. She says, if she keeps playing like this, could she earn a call up with the U.S. Women's National Team?
I would love to see it. That's all I'll say about that. I would love to see it. I think it's just a very, very interesting time for this national team at the moment. It's yeah. about like cohesiveness and like, you know, gelling together, but never say never. Injuries happen. And that's how sometimes that window of opportunity opens. And it's very hard to ignore what she's been doing in this first half of the NWSL season. And it's, listen, was it a blowout knockout performance against a Chicago Stars team that it's incredibly poor form right now? Sure. Multiple things can be true, though. That was also the same case for Kansas City when they had a go at Stars. But look how we're talking about that team right now. So you have to play the team that's in front of you. North Carolina did just that. Ashley Sanchez showing once again why she needs to be noticed.
I also think it's interesting too, now that she's playing this left wing position, when you do look at the national team, she plays differently than the wingers that they primarily been using, right? Like yeah. when you think about Emma Sears is going to be slashing down. I mean, Jaden Shaw, if she's playing out there and not in a more central role, then she'll come in. But essentially, I think that is an interesting aspect too, because if she does get called in, then she does offer something different, right? Because she can play the attacking midfield role, but she can also, I think what suited her really well this year is that she can stay out of the play for a bit. And then she has so much quality. She can take players on, but the timing of her runs to get into the box at the right time. If she meets the ball, then she can take players on inside the 18 through tight spaces. So she has all these qualities. And I think it would be an interesting aspect to see her as a left in the left wing position with the national team. And again, she offers something a little bit different. So I would like to see her get called back up just with the form that she's been in. I think the biggest thing for Ashley, though, is consistently, because she had her consistency, because she has the ability to take over games. I mean, we have seen it, but I think if she continues this path, then why wouldn't you get called in?
Yeah. The only thing that would be going against her is that chemistry that this team yeah. has been building for so long. But if she was able to, like you said, Lori, be consistent, have the swagger of Ashley Sanchez every game, going 1v1, teeing everybody up in the box, building that connection with Menaka, which another chef's kiss player, like, oh, what a joy to watch. I think she could get the call up. Yeah. But a player, though, that we will probably see back with the U.S. Women's National Team, we saw her return with Chicago this weekend, was Mal Swanson. Oh, it just makes my heart happy to say that. I got to interview her and ask her about her little girl, Josie, and she feels like a super mom, and it just feels so good to be back with the team. And I love this for her. We saw her get a couple touches, couple minutes, but on a side that's really struggling, Sandra, with this yeah. Chicago side, and even just her presence, you know, it's going to take her a minute to build back in those minutes. How much of a boost is it, though, to just have Mal Swanson on the team sheet in training consistently for the Chicago side?
She's an outlier for sure. Like this type of catalyst that can change things on a dime, but it's going to take a little time. I mean, we've even seen that with Sophia Wilson in her return back with the Thorns, and how form can look different for players who are coming back from a long absence. And then you add in that layer of the fact that she's a mom who's coming back. And you also have to factor in a team that's in a certain state that it is as she's making that return. And I think that's very tricky. But I think for you and I, Darian, I think the biggest thing that we could take away from this is just the type of professional that Swanson is. I mean, knowing what that moment would mean, not just for herself or for her team, that she was going to be asked a lot of afterwards, doing interviews with media, whether it was on broadcast or in post game. And listen, she sees what we're seeing. She was asked that, like, what's it been like kind of being on the sideline and watching it. And she's like, I got to watch this in a different way. And I got to watch it as a fan. And it's, you don't like what you see. So she's trying to take the angles that are more positive. She's like, I want to bring a lot more positivity into this group and get a feel for everything. This is also year one of her working with a new head coach and staff. So she's getting acclimated to that. And it sounds like from her that she's getting a lot of support in that return, that they're not trying to bombard her with too much. And that's probably by design, because Swanson is pretty much a proven forward in this league. You wouldn't want to bombard somebody with that type of experience, but it's a tough situation to be in. Another one of these teams that I think maybe we might mention this, like to Orlando, that really need to get to the break just sort of find some sort of reset button.
Yeah, I think another team as well that needs to get to the break is Seattle Reign, folks. Seattle is that team is struggling to find something in their attack. And shout out to Gotham. They got a win 2-0 on the against Seattle. You know, Shaw gets another one. Tierna Davidson gets her goal from returning back from her injury off of a set piece, gets that deflection and puts it in the back of the net. And Jordan Dudley is just slicing and dicing every single time she's on the pitch, which we love to see. But Lori, you've watched this team closely with Seattle. Where's your panic meter with what Seattle can do with what they've got?
I mean, I don't know if I'm ever panicking, but I do feel like some angst. Like, I'm like, what's going to happen here? Because I think when you think about them not scoring, I felt like last year the big conversation was about how they could tactically adjust and chop and change the way that they were going to play. Not necessarily just different teams, right? But they could switch from a three back to a four back, or it could look like a five back depending, right? And maybe it wasn't about the other team. It was just about what was suiting them. And I think that is wonderful. And defensively, you could be sound in that. But if you never have a major threat right now going the other way, then you're just going to be hanging on. And to me right now, that is one of the issues, is they just don't have a ton going the other way. I mean, what is it, five games without a goal? And so I think to what we were talking about with Del Fava, and she's like, okay, we high press, we're scoring goals, there's a threat, so it alleviates the pressure from the defense, right? She would have known the exact other end of that the previous year and a half when the early on in the existence of Utah, but this time around. But similarly with Seattle, it's like, okay, if you're just absorbing a ton of that pressure and don't really have, I'm going to say belief, but you don't have a ton of belief that you're going to be scoring goals or getting yourself ahead and putting the pressure on the other team, then I just feel like that's when it's an emotional toll, right? It's the doubt that that starts to set in, and then that becomes the issue.
I think as minutes go on as well, that panic is, I'm talking from experience, been on a team as a forward where you go on game 7 or 8 and you're not scoring goals, it makes it so tense to go into a match. And I think we're seeing them almost lose that fluidity that we know Seattle has and the quality that they have in their players. And I think that break can't come soon enough for this side to just reset, get players healthy, try to switch up a game plan that gets the best out of their attack, because we're not seeing it.
Yeah. Your word tense is, that's how I think of it.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
It's like your shoulders are like,
yeah. And it's like, okay.
Up to your ears. Well, a team though, that's building quite a reputation in the league, we can say, Boston tying Bay, picking up more points. Panic meter's low for me on this Boston Legacy team. I think they're pretty gritty, we can say. You know, they're going to come in. They're going to be really physical. And they ended up drawing against Bay and got another red card from Bianca St. George. She's got two on the season. Sandra, is Boston building some street cred in the league, though, with their style of play and how they're showing up to matches? $5 in the mute jar, baby. Here we go.
How did that happen? Listen, I got hit in the mouth by Bianca St. George. That's what happened. Listen, I don't know if they're the Boston Legacy or if they're the Boston Brawlers, but the numbers don't lie. Okay. Like Boston leads the league right now in fouls committed, tackles made. Like, I'm like, okay, like I don't want any part of Boston. And I can't imagine that anyone else in the league wants that. They're a scary team to go up against right now.
Guess who's going against them on Friday? Seattle.
Listen.
Seattle.
Oh boy.
I don't know what type of game we're going to get. It might have more cards than actual goals. Like I truly don't know what we're up for against, but you don't want to say a team has a rep in this league, especially when they're in like year one of their existence, but they play physical. I already ran the numbers. They lead the league in these certain areas. And listen, if it's working for them, then it's working for them. If you have become the team that other teams have to figure out how to get in there and get out, that's maybe not a bad place to be. We got folks in the chat saying Boston bullies. I mean, sure, if you got feelings about it, you could call them bullies, or we could just say like that they're physical and they're just like finding their way. No one's calling Racing Louisville bullies, and they're pretty physical as well, you know. So it's just like, come on. But I will say this. This team is no longer last on the table, and you got to take the little moments where you can get them, and they're taking them where they're going. So Boston, I feel, is like one of those teams that's waiting to get to the break, but for different reasons. And in the meantime, they're going to make things incredibly difficult for you moving forward.
Yeah, this is a tough team to play against in all facets of the word. But we want to give a shout out. Other match that was on the air tonight, LA and Portland. LA finally broke their losing streak. I think that's the silver lining to come out of this match. It wasn't the most exciting game. It was very open, very back and forth, quite choppy. But both of these teams, another really gritty match, both walking away with a point. All right, everybody, we are going to take a quick break, but make sure you throw in your NWSL team of the week for attacking third, because that's what we got cooking up next. Stick with us.
Hey, parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
What's up, friends? Welcome back into Attacking Third, presented by CarMax. Shop, buy, and sell your way. Want to drive? CarMax. All right. Favorite time of the week, our A3 team of the week. I was honored with the forwards this time, so I'll get us kicked off. And of course, you can probably guess who's first, the inevitable Temwa time. Temwa Shawinga, of course, getting a brace. She just likes to score multiple goals. The refinement, the swagger, the presence that she has just puts her in the right positions, and she's always going to score. So easily my number one. Other shout out, Ashley Sanchez, goal and an assist, slicing and dicing, going 1v1, serving balls on a platter in the 18 for her teammates. I think this player has found her groove. And last but not least, this one I was caught between two players, Evelyn Ije, getting her first goal with North Carolina and assist, but I'm rocking with Coop. Let's go, Michelle Cooper, once again, making the forward team of the week, two assists. And what really sold me was her second assist. Laura, you touched on it earlier, the ball, the run, the texture. We have just seen her excel in that wing channel and how she can serve pretty much anything on a dime to a target with the perfect pace behind it. So that's why she got my third spot in team of the week. I just think she's in such good form. But any complaints, any honorable mentions?
I'm not upset about this. I even like the dilemma that you had between Evelyn and Cooper. I do think you got to tip it to Cooper, though. The two assist game is massive. Good stuff, though. I loved it. Of course, you're going to have Temwa.
And fun note, she has 7 assists to Temwa's goals since 2024. So that connection.
Yeah.
Powerful duo. Powerful. Mm.
You can feel it, too, especially this year, even more so, which is just... it's fun to watch. So fun. All right. Moving on. I've got the midfielders. Yes. Sorry, Sandra. Defenders in. You got to do 5. All right. So I went with Jalen Howell. I think she's been exceptional for Gotham. And I think really just like a quiet leader, unsung hero in a lot of ways, because hasn't gotten a ton of attention, but I think everything that she's done, she's been so consistent this season. And she's even talked about Juan Carlos Almaroz giving her more freedom to get forward. But I just feel like when there has been some movement from the back line, they had to change things up with some injuries. And then even on the forward line, just trying to figure out what's the best group right now, Howell and McCaskill have been the steady pieces in there. And I think Howell's been fantastic this season so far. So I wanted to give her, even though she's not scoring goals and the numbers don't look like, you know, off the charts, she is such a main piece. So giving her a shout out. Manaka, my goodness, I feel similar about this to Shawinga. Every single week, I'm just like, what's Manaka going to do? And when you think about taking charge in that second half, just, I don't know if she's credited for that assist or not. Certainly got the goal, but there was a ball that she played in that I feel like would be considered a second assist that I think she should be credited for. But just, you know, we're talking about Sanchez, those two playing off of one another, really good understanding. I mean, Manaka's just, she brings everyone together and it's just fabulous to watch. And then my last one, this is tough because we were talking about it before. I wanted to go with initially Kimi Ascanio, which I'm still going with, but I do want to give a shout out to Tanaka because she got the game winner tonight, but Kimi Ascanio, goal and assist in the last two games and the game winner, obviously against Washington, which is the primary game that we were talking about and how important that win is. So young player just continues to show up and show her quality as well. So go on, Kimi.
I like it. The midfielders, that's always a tough one week to week as well. Sure. But I like the rationale for Howell and the inclusion there. Is this where we would like make the case for like Shaw, or would that have been for your forwards?
I always was thinking that she was more of like a forward.
Yeah.
But I'll give her a shout out for...
I mean, I'll just give her a shout out in general. I mean, again, this is like the midfielders are like really, really tough. I think even in the loss against San Diego, like maybe like Bernal gets like a, you know, a shout, like, but I do really like that you have Howell on this one. Another season where that she's having just like really consistent moments, but maybe that's just like flying under the radar a little bit. Good stuff.
Yeah,
I love that. I think the chat was jumping in a little bit about Jay Howell getting the shout, but remember how many times we used to put Sam Coffey on our team of the week? Didn't have crazy flashy stats, but that team was different. That team would look so different without her, and we've seen that happen. Jalen Howell's that girl for Gotham. So I love it.
Yeah, I think it's good to include her on this one. I got defenders this week. They were also giving. I actually was like a little nervous because I know there was a week where I had him and I was like, I don't know what we're going to do here because defenders had a rough week when I had him last. But thankful for this week because we had a lot of good performances. Some of them scoring goals. Some of them locking things down and goalkeepers consistent. Let's start with the goalkeeper. I'm going to give the honors to Abby Smith. Sung her praises a little earlier when we were talking about Denver Summit. There is something very special brewing from this player for Denver Summit. I have said before that if Denver is a summit, then Abby's the whole mountain. I feel that more and more week to week. Barbara Bend is inevitable, but what she does for this team, it's pretty clear that they have immense confidence in her ability, and it just sort of trickles and branches out through the rest of that team, line to line to line. So I've got Smith for the goalkeeper. For the back line, I'm going to give a shout to Sarah Gordon. I thought she was incredible against Portland Thorns for Angel City. This is someone who's been in the league a long time. If you know ball, you know Sarah Gordon. It's tough to break out of whatever Angel City is finding themselves in right now, but Sarah Gordon is trying to find a way for them, and whether it's serving up assists or tonight against Portland trying to shut down Sophia Wilson, Sarah Gordon's doing it, so she's on the list. Gonna give a shout out to Kate Delfava for Utah Royals, also locking things down, showing us that, like, even if you get a little bit frazzled, you're not gonna lose the way. Keeping things in front of her when she needed to keep them in front of her. So Kate Delfava's on this best 11. Of course, got to honor some defensive goal scorers. I'm going to go with Janine Sonis, who is also becoming a little bit of a regular on this team of the week for attacking third, but cannot deny what she is doing for Denver Summit right now, getting a brace. And shout out to Tierna Davidson, also getting her name in the score sheet as well. Love what we're seeing from this player, who's also building her way back from a long absence. We're starting to see some consistency here for some of these players who have worked their way back into form. So I'll take any other honorable mentions, but I don't know if I'm going to be moving anyone in or out on this one.
I don't think you should move anyone in or out. I think this is strong. And I love that you gave Sarah Gordon that shout, because that was a tough game. Yeah. And she had some last ditch tackles, some recovery runs, and I'm just like, she don't age.
No, exactly.
She just gets faster the longer she stays in this league, which is insane. The only player I want to honorable mention is Kristen McNabb. I think one of those unsung heroes for a team that I'm just like so consistent, so quietly consistent, but a force to try to get by. But other than that, no complaints.
Love it.
Easy. Wow, this is blue team of the week. All right, coach of the week. We got to give it to Jonas Eideval. San Diego in first place, 21 points, baby. Depth, champagne problems, rookies balling out, getting the best out of everybody. This was an easy one for us to come to today. No complaints? Going once?
No. Twice? Biggest game of the weekend. He took it. He deserves the honors.
All right, captain of the week. Sandra, you want to announce our captain of the week?
I do want to announce our captain of the week. We're going to go and give captain of the week honors to Mallory Swanson of Chicago Stars FC. A very special comeback that's been months and months in the making, and she finally got to get her first minutes and her first touches in the 2026 NWSL season against North Carolina Courage. A tough performance to come into, but you are already seeing some of the different type of maturity that comes from a player in Mal Swanson. And she's always sort of been this player that kind of commands a bit more from those around her, which we have started to see a lot more in her time with Chicago. And I can only imagine now being a mom, she's going to command a whole lot more of that. So congratulations and welcome back to NWSL.
Oh, I love it. Well, that's our team of the week, everybody. Smooth, easy. Shout out to Mal Swanson. She is back. We can't wait to see her this next week. And thank you, everybody, for jumping in the comments and letting us know what's going on. Don't forget, A3 will be back, of course, this Thursday at 11 a.m. And we will preview all this weekend's NWSL action, match week 9, which is absolutely nuts. But also, Women's Champions League final. Barcelona against Lyon. The ladies will be chopping that up. From Sandra, Lori, Phil, and Audrey, I'm Darian. This was Attacking Third.
Podcasts.